Les colloques du Collège de France.
It's my pleasure to introduce the talk of Hoda Fakhreddin. So Hoda Fakhreddin is a university professor at Pennsylvania University and one of today's leading specialists in Arabic poetic tradition. By her unique command of the Arabic poetic heritage from the start to now, if I can say, she is one of the very few people capable of bridging the gap between ancient Arabic poetic tradition, so pre-Islamic and classical, and modern and contemporary creation. She has done extensive work on the conditions for a truly poetic reading rather than a merely historicizing and therefore orientalist one of Abbasid poetry, as well as on the impossibility of understanding modern and contemporary Arabic poetry without discerning its centuries-old harmonics. This attention to the long term is a hallmark of Hoda Fakhreddin's work, which can be found both in her moving A Brief Time Under a Different Sun, 2019, and for those smart enough to understand her, in her political positions, informed from within by her intimate knowledge of Arab culture over the long term. In this way, she rediscovers the truly universal. I mean by the way of science, of historical science. I would like to quote in particular an article that appeared recently in Al-Quds Al-Arabi, the Lebanese journal, in Arabic, entitled Gaza translate Selam for me, and Gaza translate the world for me. So an article in which she brilliantly draws a parallel between the Palestinian experience of destruction and dispossession and the experience of Paul Celan, who was professor at the Ecole Normale Supérieure here. This provides her with an opportunity for a poignant poetic meditation on language, poetry and history. I will quote just one superb sentence, for the sake of time, characteristic of Hoda Fakhreddin's writing style. I translate into English the Arabic. What is the meaning of our living Arab poetic heritage if all its voices don't prepare to speak with the tongue of Gaza at this terrible moment? It is the true test of poetry. The true test of poetry is that it does not perish with time, as Bashar ibn Bord says, that is, that it remains present no matter how much time passes, and that it is able forever to express the reality of language and its people in its present moment, outside of history and its unjust path. Then we must hear Gaza in every Arabic poem. Gaza, the wound of time that will never heal, will become language, reading, questioning, and refutation of all that we were before this, and a destination for all that we can be after this. So Hoda, I leave you the floor.
Mas al khair. Thank you for joining us and persevering on the rubble. A few introductory remarks. Marwan, thank you so much for this very generous introduction. I feel seen and read for the very first time. Arabic poetry begins at stop, and I'm so very glad to be following Isabella's meditation on Wukuf ala al-Atlal, because as a student of the Arabic poetic tradition, I stand on ruins, as should every reader of the Qasida. The ruin is the site of loss, but it is also the site where voice is found and where language is rediscovered. And I am in the course of writing a book for the past 2 years of this genocide that I have tentatively called Gaza, Our Oracle Ruin, because I cannot imagine a direction forward for my field, the supposedly constructed fictional Middle Eastern studies, or the field of Arabic literature and criticism if it does not acknowledge Gaza as our eternal ruin, where we will find the language if we are to find any. And this is where my talk will be coming from, but I would like to, before that, thank Didier for this very generous invitation. This day alone has been a wealth of ideas and community, companionship. in this horrible moment. I will take the opportunity to not read trans. I will share with you poetry. That's what I will do. And as Isabella said, poetry and art does not necessarily change the world immediately. It could be cathartic, but in the words of my friend, Syrian poet Julian Haji, who's sitting right there, it is an opportunity, really. Art is an opportunity for us to meditate and confront cruelty in ways that might be productive. I will share with you some poetry standing upon the oracle ruin of Gaza, and I will take the opportunity to not always read the English translation, because who said we need to do that? And in that moment, I would like to thank the translators for their contribution to this event. Translation is a taxing, soul-searching act in the best of times. It becomes more unbearably so in this moment of the inexplicable. And one last comment, the artwork, this is Sleiman Mansour, brilliant seer and Palestinian artist, and this is a painting called From the River to the Sea. For more than 2 years, this planet has rotated around the sun drenched in Palestinian blood. Hundreds of days of slaughter, nothing new under the sun except the finality of the massacre. The world will soon start rehabilitating itself by erecting monuments of guilt, reciting land acknowledgments, and mythologizing the Palestinian and cannibalizing the myth. On the scale of this historic calamity, the concerns that motivate me here as a scholar of Arabic literature are petty and small. Nevertheless, they strike at the core of the work we do, not only as scholars in the humanities, but as human beings. How do we study the poetry of a people as it is being eradicated? What is new and what is old on the timeline of genocide? What is time and what has become of language? When the genocide against the Palestinians went into its latest, most visible, meticulously documented phase after October 7th, when impossible images of horror saturated the mundane and the everyday and overwhelmed our sense of the possible, the Gazan poet Yahya Ashour, 25 years old, asked the question in an Instagram post, a simple, straightforward question pointed at time itself. Yahya asked, technology fails, Ya Rabbi, in kana zamanu al-mu'ajizati qad inqada, lima lam yanqadi ma'ahu zamanu al-majaziri. If the era of he posted it in English too. If the era of miracles has passed, why hasn't the era of massacres? An invitation to consider what kind of intervention in time, in the fabric of history, in our collective consciousness, Gaza is. Theodore Adorno thought it was barbaric to write poetry after Auschwitz. I know you're all bored of us bringing Adorno up, but here he is again. He thought it was barbaric to write poetry after Auschwitz, although he later rescinded this claim when he read the poetry of Paul Celan, which conquers German and breaks it. Adorno admitted that the perennial suffering has much right to expression as a tortured man has to a scream. Poetry as the scream of a tortured person imposes itself on the world in times of horror like these, but poetry in the long term does much more than that. It accounts for history and saves it from itself in a realm that transcends history as a progression of events. The moment of poetry is perpetually present, and poetry makes experience universal, no matter how individual or specific or sometimes unspeakable. Poetry does that in language. It breaks it and rebuilds it, and with it, a world. And this is why I ask now, what good is the Arabic language if it does not dedicate itself at this moment to encompass, no matter how impossible, the magnitude of the tragedy of Gaza? How can the Arabic literary tradition remain alive, as we are often pride ourselves on it being dynamic and alive? How can it remain alive if it does not rally its voices, past and present, dead and alive, to account for this counterpoint in history that is Gaza? A poem I keep returning to, like a poet returns to the site of the ruin, the Talal, is by a Gazan poet called Hiba Abu Nada. Hiba opened by addressing her immediate predecessor, Mahmoud Darwish. She places herself and Darwish in the long thread of resistance and lament poetry in the long Arabic poetic tradition, connecting herself and him to a long legacy of confronting time with defiant aloneness. I will read the Arabic and leave the English up there. يا وحدنا ربح الجميع حروبهم وتركت أنت أمام وحلك عاريا لا شعر يا درويش سوف يعيد ما خسر الوحيد وما فقد يا وحدنا لعن الذي في الحرب فرقنا به وعلى جنازتك اتحد يا وحدنا الأرض سوق حرة وبلادك الكبرى مزاد معتمد يا وحدنا هذا زمان جاهلي لن يساندنا أحد يا وحدنا فامسح قصائدك القديمة والجديدة والبكا وشد حالك يا بلد. Hiba Abu Neda wrote this poem in 2017 when she was 25 years old and had lived most of her life under siege in Gaza. Hiba was 32 years old when she was murdered in an Israeli airstrike on her home in Khan Yunis on October 20th, 2023. Dates matter when they mark horror. Numbers matter when they are years of life lost or stolen. I've been returning to this poem over and over in the past 2 years of genocide. When I first translated it in the fall of 2023, I was taken aback by the mastery of form, by the command of rhythm that Hiba exhibits so confidently, and I was arrested by her bold, uncompromising voice. The you she addresses initially is Mahmoud Darwish, but it is also all other poets of her tradition who have tried to speak against time and its horrors. She forcefully rallies a whole Arabic tradition of defiant aloneness like hers, Gaza's defiant aloneness, that demands an entire poetic tradition. It calls upon all of history to speak it. This is Hamza Abu Halima from Gaza, defiant aloneness. An image like this calls to mind lines of poetry that will forever be present from the Arabic poetic tradition. Lines by poets like Samawal, who is Hiba Abu Nada's Jewish Arab forefather. Tu'ayiruna anna qalilun adiduna faqultu laha inna al-kirama qalilu. Lines by Shamfara, the author of Lamiyat al-Arab, one of the sources of the Arabic language and the Quran and everything that comes after. Aqimu bani ummi sudura matiyikum fa inni ila qawmin siwakum lam yalu. قد حمت الحاجات والليل مقمر وشدت لطيات مطايا وأرحلوا ولي دونكم أهلون سيد عملس وأرقة زهلول وعرفاء جيئل هم الأهل هم الأهل لا مستودع السر ذائع لديهم ولا الجاني بما جر يخذلوا. Lines like the resonant متنبي in the Abbasid age, who stands alone in the face of time with nothing but his patience and a soul that refuses to die. أطاعن خيلا من فوارسها الدهر وحيدا وما قولي كذا ومع الصبر وأشجع مني كل يوم سلامتي وما ثبتت إلا وفي نفسها أمر. Or where he says elsewhere, أحيا وأيسر ما قاسيت ما قتلا والبين جار على ضعفي وما عدلا. The ruins, as Isabella told us, the talal, the key that has opened the floodgates of Arabic poems for 1,500 years, is also Hiba Abu Nada's. And this talal is now Gaza. Gaza is no longer just a place. It is a locus and an ethos. It is a signpost in place and space that has also become a source point of time. And as readers of Arabic poetry know well, a place can become all of time. The gateway to the Arabic poetic world is often as we now heard, a place of ruin, and Gaza is now that eternal talal, our oracle talal, and from it all of language and time will radiate. In the wake of the Gaza genocide, the you that Hiba Abu Nada addresses becomes you and me as well, the witnesses of this genocide, witnesses of Hiba's murder, of thousands of lives lost on our watch. The you that Hiba pins up against the wall and interrogates is a you she had despaired of long ago. It is the you of the self-serving industry of sympathy and solidarity, which parades the Palestinian only to gain purchase for itself and win all its wars. By the end of her poem, Hiba turns away from us to the only you she can believe in. And, oh, you, Palestine, pull yourself together. Shiddi halik ya balad. Performing a brilliant linguistic and aesthetic return, Hiba insists on the priority of the Palestinian self and its auto-critique. She transforms into art the internal Palestinian dialogue, which is uninterested in my gaze or yours. It's uninterested in the other's ear or eye. And Gaza has proven to us time and again that the others, all of us, have failed. We have failed. We, the sympathizers, the happy conference goers, the workshop conveners, the book deal seekers, the syllabi builders, the anthologists, the translators, the inheritors and beneficiaries of spilled blood. Yes, all the others have won their wars. The poems we have of Hiba's are all ones she wrote between the fall of 2015 and the moment of her murder in October of 2023. She never published a collection of her own. She posted most of her poems online, sending them out into the void of this world, imagining someone listening on the other side. Yes, they are online posts, but they are poems in their tension and their unwavering commitment to form. They insist on sounding and feeling like qasidas. Hiba speaks her Gaza through the sound units of timeless Arabic poetry. She houses her experience, young in poetry, old in time, in the familiar arrangements of exhales and inhales with which we have learned to read Mutanabbi and Antara. And of course, translation fails. It falters because it too cannot grasp that immortal energy that this young poet was tapping into. English arrogantly, thinking itself necessary, makes demands. It scoffs at the unabashed rhyme. It is agitated by the parallel measured lines. Never mind. Let English scoff and squirm. But here I am translating Hiba into English, as I have been doing for the past 2 years. Here I am introducing her in the language of those who are either complicit in her murder or unbothered by it. Why? When Hiba's defiant despair saw us for what we are and exposed us, Hiba exposed me. This is a poem that she wrote in 2015. And when I read it, I feel ashamed. You, reading this poem, do you think that I take pleasure writing it? Don't you know that with every honest letter I ache, with every line I choose, my fingers break? With every rhyme that stirs my longing, I drift away, then startle awake. Don't you know that we who enter poems with our hearts and tears, we cross that threshold and never return? She exposes me. Hiba exposes me as her translator on the other side of horror, on the opposite bank of death. She exposes me as I try to roll her words on my tongue. They are bitter and I choke. And yet here I am channeling her, approximating her, whether I like it or not, serving her up on a plate. For what? To save myself? To say I have done something against the horror? To say I have resisted? Resisted what? Systems and institutions which continue to manipulate me and others like me, and we still engage them. We perform our horror to the complicit, offering them what Gaza offers us, words and worlds that we drag back into empire's viewing room. What kind of resistance is this that requires me to bite my Arabic tongue and translate it into the language that aids and abets genocide? Whatever I say, my mouth fills with blood. Gaza has spelled out and exposed the end of many of the world's institutions, academic, political, legal, and among them too is the marketplace of translation, especially when it isn't a conversation between equals, but the sport of poaching a culture and dragging it back like a living animal for the benefit of more powerful, uninterested, and vain others. And yes, many of us translators in the world before Gaza have indulged in the pretentious pleasures of pontificating on translation, celebrating it as delicious theft, as happy treason, translator, traitor. In the moment of Gaza, in this moment of genocide, we might want to call our translations poet, resistance, scholarship, expertise, knowledge. Yes, perhaps, but we must also live with the fact that they are also inevitably betrayals. Despite our efforts, often self-serving, the Palestinian experience remains out of reach as a reality. It is unbelievable, literally facing denial of believability at all times. No matter how overwhelming the evidence or how extensive and irrefutable the record, Palestinians, like mythical beings, are constantly required to prove their existence. What Fadi Jouda calls the Palestinian Cassandra, a state of impossible existence that becomes more exasperated by forms of solidarity and celebration and condescending acknowledgments that, especially when expressed outside of Arabic, become acts of erasure rather than recognition. Jouda says, what the Palestinian sees as a simple truth in the present, English erases as a slur, as madness to cure, to institutionalize, and if all else fails, eliminate. Palestine and its unfolding Nakba are simple truths in the present, a perpetual present that resists dilution in history or sublimation in verb tenses. One of the most radical forms of Palestinian resistance and revolution is precisely this, to exist in the present, to refuse transforming into a distant problem of the past or an unreachable aspiration of the future. Remembering catastrophe and accounting for it over and over and repeating it over and over, more urgently, continuing to remember it as it unfolds, is how resistance occurs. How does one remember, experience, and anticipate at the same time? And what happens to language and memory? The tyranny of thinking of Palestine as a futurity, its deferability remains the knot of past and present unresolved and burning. Within our lifetimes, the protesters insist. It is this insistence on contemporaneity that Palestine, through this insistence, that Palestine trumps history and functions as myth through and within its undeniable reality. Jouda declares in the opening of his latest collection, which is titled Ellipsis, "I am unfinished business." And the entire collection ends with, "I be from the river to the sea." I be from the river to the sea, as if he is telling us, I am a past and I will be a future, but for now, I, as present, unfinished, unfolding, undeniable, will occupy you. I will invade you, keep you suspended in my perpetual urgency. You, as enemy, friend, empathizer, spectator, voyeur, hypocrite, kin, you and all your timelines are hostage to my moment, my past, which persists as present. And the collection ends, I be from the river to the sea, an insistence on existence in the absolute, without tense, rooted in geography, yet liberated from history. And Palestinian present and experience as an impossibility comes up again in the work of another Palestinian poet, Ahmed al-Mallah, who invites us to the challenge of Palestinian experience. And he says, only grief will make the ones left behind decipher, and then the image might come alive because it is real and contains gaps like the real. Yes, the real that is the hardest to imagine. And Palestine continues to challenge us to imagine the most difficult thing, ourselves as free. More than 800 days of slaughter later, when the illusion of a ceasefire loomed for yet another cruel, fleeting moment, we witnessed Palestine rise out of massacre and present us with miracle, I call Yahya Ashour, my friend from the beginning of this lecture, who is stuck in the United States and has been for the past 2 years in a state of unreal real as a Palestinian, forced to wait for news of his family, news either way. I call him so we can both witness the miracle of Palestine as thousands upon thousands of Gazans walk back north to nothing. You all have seen the scenes from Sher al-Rashid. Witness Palestine's miracle. There are no metaphors, no parables, no modes, no paradigms to hold and decipher this. The moment itself becomes the paradigm. It imposes itself as meaning across time and in spite of it. Gaza is the end of myth. Gaza is the end of myth. It is contemporaneity that functions as reality. The physician Azzedine Shehab, who continues to tweet and post on Instagram from Gaza to this day, said, "They took from us the ordinary and gave us eternity." Before him, Mahmoud Darwish too had recognized myth as the Palestinian ordinary. "Ha huna arkhaytu dhilli wa intadhartu ikhtartu asghara sakhratin wa sahirtu kassartu al-khurafata wa inkasartu." Keeping vigil over a stone, we remember that as speakers of the Arabic language and heirs to its imagination, we have portals to the mythic of our own, ways to stitch the possible to the impossible and vice versa, and recircuit time as our eternal ruin, the stone, the talal upon which we stand, whether it is mute and immortal or flung to the ends of the earth, Palestine rends time and mends it. Palestine, and especially now in its Gaza moment, will reinvent language and our paradigms and forms of thought. The very ploys we once used to account for history and make sense of experience. كَسَّرْتُ الْخُرَافَةَ وَانْكَسَرْتُ. If Palestine breaks, it breaks myth with it and demands a new language and a new time. The dawning of a temporality that will only relinquish its perpetual presentness if it can march forward, possibly or impossibly, towards a free Palestine. Shukran jazilan.
Collège de France, le savoir en illimité. Retrouvez tous nos contenus audio et vidéo sur notre site collège-de-france.fr, les plateformes de podcast et nos chaînes YouTube.